Brought to you thanks to Suaco and AGD Systems. This is Highways Voices from Intertraffic Amsterdam 2024.
Welcome to Amsterdam, and we're on to day two of Intertraffic 2024 here at the Rye Exhibition Centre. And we've got more for you from this enormous event, with so much to talk about and details of where you can get a free drink later. It's Highways Voices, brought to you thanks to the support of Suaco and AGD Systems. And we'll start today by going back to yesterday and the Intertraffic Awards winners.
Sponsored by Suaco and AGD Systems, Highways Voices from Intertraffic Amsterdam 2024.
So, British company Valoran has won the coveted Intertraffic Amsterdam Inspiration Award for its advanced real-time data analytics platform, Lantern by Valoran. The judges said it to be one of the most versatile and usable innovations ever seen. It takes familiar concepts in traffic optimization and delivers them in a highly accurate way that enables a new level of real-time reactions that the jury believed will inspire urban mobility management for years to come. So we're joined by Valoran's CEO and founder, Gabriel Jacobsen. And Gabriel, this must be a really important moment for your company.
Of course, getting recognized as a leading and innovative technology in this industry is a big thing for us. And especially when we are now starting to penetrate new markets, working with some of the largest DOTs, Department of Transport around the world, getting this recognition from such a prestigious organization such as Intertraffic is extremely important for us.
Explain to me in a nutshell what the product actually does.
We use AI in our software in order to allow traffic authorities to improve their situational awareness on their assets, know about the most relevant events that are happening on their roads at any point of time, and resolving these events in the most timely manner.
And so where are you already operating?
We're currently operating in many geographies, albeit the fact that the product is relatively young. We are working in the United States with some of the leading DOTs there. We are working in Europe with TII in Ireland, and now we've started also to work with National Highways in the UK. And we're working in several toll roads, leading toll roads in South America, in Chile, Peru, and Costa Rica.
And if you're setting up these solutions in so many different countries, how do you actually travel to all of them to set them up?
What's nice about our system is that it is one of the only systems in our industry which is completely cloud-based. We don't need to use any type of hardware or dedicated servers in order to deploy our product, which means that we actually don't need to be present at the deployment location. We can do everything remotely in just 1 or 2 months' time.
And where can people come and see you here at Intertraffic this week?
So we are in hall number 5. We have a booth there. Very happy to see you all.
Okay, congratulations. Well done on winning the award.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated. Thank you.
And let's move on to our next award winner, another British company. It's Intelligent Instruments, and director Ruben Peckham will tell me why they've won the User Experience Award 2024. Ruben, thanks for joining us on Highways Voices. Tell me about the award.
Well, we won it for our SoundView noise camera systems, which are used to detect excess sound from nuisance vehicles. So that can be from performance cars, which are being driven aggressively. It can be from people that choose to drive their cars with aftermarket exhaust systems. And motorcycles, again, with modified exhausts. People that might drive in areas where people live, work, or study and cause disturbance.
Explain to me how it works.
Okay, so it uses a precision microphone system with a series of different algorithms that detect the sound. So we have algorithms that detect noise from exhaust systems, noise from horns, noise from music, and noise from jake brakes. And when it detects that sound above a certain threshold level, it triggers. When it triggers, it records a video clip, it records the audio, it identifies a dominant vehicle, and it reads the license plate.
That's the key thing I was going to ask, because if you've got two vehicles going past at the same time, I should imagine that even though you know who's actually creating it, you can see it. The burden of proof in court, if a good lawyer said to you, come on then, you know, prove it was my client and not the little mini going past at the same time. Yeah. You have to be able to prove that. The burden of proof is on you. How does that work?
So we have a microphone array which has four little microphones in it, which is spaced apart, and the sound from the dominant vehicle hits those microphones with a tiny delay. It measures the tiny delay, and from that it can triangulate the location of the offending vehicle. And what it does is it places a marker on that vehicle, and then our LPR cameras know where to focus and read the license plate accordingly.
And has it been tested in court?
It has. So we've had various challenges. How many challenges in London? We've got 12 systems which are operational in London. No challenges there, but we have had a couple of challenges in New York City. And we have 10 operational systems in New York City. And there have been some challenges, and they have all been unsuccessful.
And what about this week now in Intertraffic? What does being an award winner mean for you when it comes to meeting new people this week in Amsterdam?
Well, we're very very surprised, very honoured. We're only a very small company, so we're up against the big boys, really. It's just great, you know, we're sort of gradually sort of working away, raising awareness of what we do and the product that we have, and it's, you know, it's clearly it's helping with that, you know, it's just raising our profile. It's fantastic.
Ruben Peckham is a director at Intelligent Instruments, the winners of the User Experience Award, and they're not the only noise related winner here this week. Let's meet another, Sealed Air.
I'm Andrew Castle, and I'm the market manager for construction in EMEA, the EMEA region.
So Andrew, congratulations, you've won the Intertraffic Green Globe Award for 2024.
Thank you very much.
What have you won it for?
We won it for Whisper NB Eco 40A3, which is a 40 millimeter thick foam material. It's a meta material, which is really interesting. So meta materials in acoustics can basically do more with less. And we won the award on the sustainability of our product, obviously, and what it can offer noise barrier wall manufacturers and their customers, which is a carbon emissions reduction over an industry benchmark, which we used mineral wool as just one, but there are many others. So we're offering about a 25% reduction in CO2 emissions, the ability to easily recycle the product, the capacity to produce it in a way that already exists. And incredibly, we went through the durability testing and we found that our product can exceed 50 years. So we're about a 40% durability increase by using a plastic-based material as opposed to a mineral-based material.
And you tick the box because noise is becoming more and more important, I think, when you talk to people. It's an issue that for a long time was overlooked, but you're ticking that box, but making it sustainable as well.
Yes, so the World Health Organization has identified noise as the second largest effect on healthy life years in Europe after air pollution. So by resolving noise issues, and noise barrier walls are the most effective way to resolve noise issues from traffic and rail.
And what does winning the award mean for you and for the company?
For me and for the company, it means recognition that our efforts in developing this incredible new technology and being able to supply it in commercial quantities are valued by the industry, number one. Number two, the building of awareness in general amongst our customers in the noise barrier wall producers, the system producers and installers, and as well as in the regulators, the public sector customers, and all the influential people that go around building a new highway, a new railway, and the noise barrier walls that go with it. So the more stakeholders that are aware, the better it is and the easier it is to make sustainable materials come to the forefront of the market.
Brought to you thanks to Suaco and AGD Systems. This is Highways Voices from Intertraffic Amsterdam 2024.
And congratulations to all the winners. Now, before we meet one of our sponsors making this podcast possible this week, let me mark your card for a sociable afternoon at the Rye with Clearview Intelligence kicking off their 50th birthday year with the drinks reception from 3 p.m. on Wednesday on their stand, which is in Hall 3, stand number 100. And they're not far away from 5 till 7:30. Suaco have their show Drinks Reception, a relaxing get-together to exchange opinions and network within industry stakeholders, colleagues and family members of the SWARCO Group, and a chance for SWARCO to say thank you. You can't miss their stand in Hall 2. See you later to enjoy music and typical Austrian refreshments. Now next on Highways Voices, let's head to our other sponsor's stand. That's AGD Systems, stand number 428 in Hall 5, as we see a new way of monitoring traffic, as Commercial Manager Neil Keith explains.
Hi Paul, nice to see you again. Oh yeah, so this year we brought the 650 AI camera. That's our latest product for smart intersection control. It's been going down an absolute storm in the UK. Local authorities up and down the country have been deploying it for classification and detection of cyclists and buses in particular. And we're developing that product even further to identify even more modes of transport and to give more flexibility to users.
So when you say AI, is it actually learning while it's out on site and teaching itself different vehicles and different road users?
So that's a very good question. No, the work was done at the front end. So each of the particular modal types has had about 2,000 different images taken in different lighting conditions, different weather conditions, and in congestion or free flow. And that has all then been tested and calibrated in our manufacturing facility back in the UK, and is certified to work to that robust standard.
And so what's so special about it, and how is it better than previous iterations?
Well, the previous iteration of this particular type of detector is that the previous one was a radar, in fact. So this version of the product is actually based on the video analytics of the vehicles going through.
So does that mean that the radar that you've been known for so long is dead?
No, not by any means. It's specific to the applications itself. Radar very much has its place in both the, as we'll see here, the highways monitoring and incident detection side of things, as well as urban traffic control, and in speed enforcement, in fact, where we also are very, very big.
When it comes to people buying products these days, it's not just about what it does, it's about what harm it might do wider than the job it does. So how are you acting sustainably and helping authorities and others that are buying your product to achieve the sustainability goals that they have?
Yeah, very much so. Sustainability is key at the moment, and we work very closely with our suppliers and supply chain to ensure that they are achieving the sustainability goals that we set ourselves. And all of our products, testing calibrated, as I said, but in a lean manufacturing environment, which is carbon positive, because we've employed the most green measures possible. Because all of our products are about being safer, greener and more efficient, and we're at the heart of that with everything we do, with solar panels, zero waste to landfill, and cardboard packaging. We've removed 99% of the plastics from our packaging.
What do you aim to achieve from 4 days at Intertraffic?
So our biggest goal is to obviously reconnect with our distributors globally, because we work with some 45 distributors across the globe in 30 plus countries, and obviously to uncover some new partners to potentially work with, and end clients also obviously, and to be able to demonstrate to them how our product suite can suit their local applications.
That's Neil Keith of AGD Systems, who, along with SWARCO, are one of our sponsors this week on Highways Voices from Intertraffic Amsterdam. Next, let's talk driverless cars with one of the world's leading experts on the subject, Randy Iwasaki from California, who was one of the speakers at the summit. Now, I first met Randy 10 years or so ago when I visited his testbed in Contra Costa County, just north of San Francisco, and I started by asking him how he thinks the industry has progressed in that decade.
One of the advantages when we met, we had Gomentum Station, and it provides you a front row seat into the advancements of the technology. And we didn't predict a date, but we also said that it's a very complex issue when you throw technology in with human behavior and policies and regulations. And I think that it's been a steady march toward perfection, and we're not there yet.
And is great the enemy of good? Are we setting a higher benchmark for driverless vehicles than we would human-driven vehicles?
Well, I think you have to. I think that it's unfortunate, but society has said, okay, 40,000 people in America are killed on the roadways each year. And that's okay. And God forbid if a computer makes an error, you know, we gotta go out and really take a review of the situation and what caused the problems. But I think that's to start. I think that computers have to do it better. They have to be, there's perfection. And so as they get further down the road and you start studying, like in the United Kingdom, they're studying driver behavior, human behavior, characteristics. Why do you jaywalk? Why do you do the things that you do? They're gonna be able to treat those models using artificial intelligence to try to help make those vehicles communicate or act more like a human. And I think it's going to be faster. And so hopefully it reduces the fatality rate while doing all the other things that the technology has promised.
And you've been talking about data-driven solutions. What is changing with data, and how is that changing the way that we're delivering the solutions?
Well, I think there's been some advancements in the technology of storage. You can store more data for less dollars. You can call up servers as a utility, and you can turn the servers on, you can run analytics, you shut it off, and it's done. You don't have to have all these things on-prem or on-premise. You can actually have it in the cloud and run these scenarios, or these diagnostics or models very, very quickly. So I think those are the advancements that are being made in the area of data and data decision making. So the cost has gone down, the speed has gone up, and I think the adoption rate of different modeling techniques using the latest servers and the powerful servers that are available. I mean, you just see different results. And so I think that we're making advancements in the data decision area as well as the self-driving vehicle area.
And we've got connected and autonomous vehicles. They're always sort of banded in together, but they're kind of on two separate tracks as far as speed of advancement is concerned, because connectivity is providing amazing solutions right now. The autonomy bit is taking a bit longer.
I would agree with that. So there are technologies available on the connectivity side because you can use it for more than one thing. And so you have roadway sensors, you want connectivity between the transportation management center and what's happening out in your infrastructure. And so the technology is advancing in that area, and the autonomous vehicle, the self-driving technology is more complex, I think, than we thought originally. And so it's more difficult when you think in terms of driving around Amsterdam with a self-driving vehicle. There's a lot of things going on with bicycles and pedestrians and different roadway configurations that those vehicles are going to have to learn how to navigate. And so it's just a different environment.
And is it all about the technology, or is the legal and the behavioral and the human acceptance as much of an issue as actually getting the vehicle to do what you want it to do?
Well, that's one part of it, the vehicle doing what you want it to do. But I think there are studies now advancing those other things you talked about, including human behavior. And so there's more effort in marketing, there's more effort in education and training, what to expect. I was at a conference or a meeting last year, and Waymo has actually QR codes in the mirrors for firefighters. They have the information in the sun visor, so you can respond what to do, what not to do, how to respond when these vehicles are in accidents. So there's a lot of things occurring that are helping bring this whole ecosystem together to produce a vehicle that drives itself through a very complex environment.
Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot now, Randy. You are one of the world's leading experts on this. Here you are at Intertraffic this year. Where will we be? What's the next big thing between now and Intertraffic 2026?
I think data unification. I think you're going to see and hear more about data unification. So you've got all this infrastructure that's various ages and various types. You've got LiDAR, you've got radar, you've got video. The video cameras are different. There's proprietary software, and you want to run edge computing alongside that. You're going to have something that unifies all those data feeds into one platform so you can run analytics on it. I think that's the next big jump forward.
Leading connected and automated vehicles consultant Randy Iwasaki there on Highways Voices.
From Intertraffic Amsterdam 2024, Highways Voices.
So you're listening to Highways Voices, sponsored by AGD Systems and our brilliant friends at SWARCO that always support us and allow us to bring you this journalism from major events across the world. And I'm always delighted, and it's always a highlight for me, to grab 5 minutes with Michael Schuch, the CEO of SWARCO, who's watching the company grow and grow, and the new announcement that we'll come to on tomorrow's program about the partnership with Monarch. We're promised another announcement later on Wednesday at Intertraffic with SWARCO. So SWARCO are so many things, and software, road marking, VMS, traffic signals. Michael, I've got to ask, what is your main focus on this, the biggest stand at Intertraffic?
Thank you, Paul, for having me, first of all, and always good to talk to you. I would say the main mission of SWARCO is really about people. And this is also reflecting in our leading idea. What we want to do is to make the travel experience safer, quicker, more convenient, and environmentally sound. Hence, the essence and the heart of our exhibition booth, and you see it in the openness of the booth, is really about the user journey. We want to invite people to see actually what we can offer in making that user journey as fluent and frictionless as possible. And safety, comfort, obviously, efficiency and sustainability is a very important ingredient. And when it comes to our customers, the cities, the public authorities, the motorway operators, we want to be the trusted choice for future-ready mobility solutions. That's what the main focus of our exhibition is about.
And of course, you mentioned about sustainability. One of the things that we talked about when we last spoke in Lisbon just under a year ago is the Go Green initiative. How has that gone? You talked about promising results when we get to Intertraffic. We're at Intertraffic. Where are we with Go Green?
That's a very good question, a favorite topic of mine. So as you rightly said, during the ITS European Congress in Lisbon last year, we launched the initiative of Go Green. And what we did throughout this almost 12 months period until Intertraffic today, we visited close to 100 cities in 25 countries of Europe, which is a great achievement. And I have to say, I'm very proud of the team that showed so much commitment, trying to explain to the cities actually what modern ITS technologies can do in order to help them reach the ambitious climate goals, which means no net emissions until 2050. And more than 100 cities have signed up to this commitment, part of the European Green Deal, which is something that we cherish, and the sustainability as being in our DNA, so to say, from the very first moment of the first glass beads that we produce by recycling glass and basically upcycling it to something significantly better. So Go Green is something that everyone can try on our booth, the 3D virtual reality, and we want to show everyone what modern ITS technology can do.
And are we as an industry, not just SWARCO, but the whole of the industry, transport and, let's say, intelligent transport systems, are we on the right track?
I think we are at the beginning of many of the things. And I have to say, the European Green Deal is a great initiative to stipulate that, to actually do it faster. And as you probably are well aware, mobility itself is a contributor of up to 25% of the carbon emissions. However, I do see some challenges. And one of the challenges is that funding is there, companies, industries are pushing in that direction, but procurement rules also need to change and reflect that. So there needs to be a bit more emphasis on not only the lowest price, but also on sustainability criteria. And that would still accelerate maybe then the development that we need to address such a critical topic as climate change and the environmental degradation that we are seeing, unfortunately.
Can I add one third aspect to that, Michael? It's not just, in my opinion, price and sustainability, but there's also the fact that in most procurement, when I talk to companies that are trying to get things procured, there's no room for innovation. There is no box where there is 20% for thinking outside the box. The civil servants, the government officials, they write the requirements, and you've got better things that you could do, but how do you shoehorn those in?
Well, that's a very good point, actually. And Go Green, our initiative, is trying to address also this, making everyone aware that there are modern solutions out there that can actually help them. So don't just copy and paste what was done in the past decades. And some of those standard specifications, they are decades old. Go for something, or try also something innovative. And this is also important for us as Swarco, being 55 years this year on the market, is not a guarantor actually to be successful in future. It clearly demonstrates that we have commitment, that we have a long-term view, that we are a credible player on the industry, but it's certainly no guarantor actually to be also successful in future. So we also have to challenge ourselves every day, not to become complacent, not to just rest assured with what we have, that this is also going to be needed in future.
I've just got to say though, Michael, to finish, you've just said Swarco is 55 years old. It seems like yesterday you were celebrating the 50th birthday. Where have those 5 years gone?
Oh yeah, I fully agree with you. Yes, actually, it went by like a big storm, actually. Yes, yeah.
And a big party Wednesday evening on this stand.
Yes, Paul, and I hope to see you there as well. Yes,
fabulous.
You're welcoming everyone.
Michael, always good to talk. I'm going to catch up with you later in the week for a longer podcast at some point where we can sit down again and really get into the issues. But for now, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Paul. Always good to talk to you.
Every day on Highways Voices this week from Intertraffic Amsterdam, I won't just be wandering around chatting to speakers and exhibitors. I'll also be marking your card as to who you may want to go and listen to each day. The person who is marking the card for us is my new Highways News colleague, Kevin Boris, who's joined the editorial team of Adrian and me to post even more stories for you every day. Kevin's out here working with the organisers here at Intertraffic on writing up some of the sessions. So I thought, well, let's tap Kevin up on what sessions he's been asked to cover, because by definition, they're the ones that are deemed most interesting. Although, to be honest, the whole summit programme is really interesting. So, Kevin, welcome back to Highways Voices. What have we got on your diary for Wednesday?
Thank you, Paul. Well, the first one is at 10 o'clock on Wednesday, is Next Level Traffic Information Services with New Sensor Data. It's quite a long title. And there's only one speaker, and that's Jeroen Brewer, who is Director of CBO Customer and Sales Analytics at TomTom. One of my jobs in March was to interview three speakers from different sessions. Jeroen was one of them, really fascinating guy. A self-confessed geek. However, he's one of those people that is a geek and a technology person and a genius at what he does. He can speak simply, which is really important, because not everyone in that audience is going to understand as much about this subject as he does. So the topic we discussed in the interview was floating car data, which has been around for a long, long time. Probably more common floating vehicle data projects and practices now than ever before. However, with the advent of ADAS-enabled vehicles and the emphasis on safety, is floating vehicle data that we have now, is the data actually rich enough? Is there enough information? The information that we don't use, can it be used for other things? So he's going to be looking at that, looking at digital mapping and how traffic data can feed into digital mapping. That should be really interesting. Your own, if he speaks on Wednesday, as well as he spoke to me on the interview, this should be a good one. This is one of my, I'm looking forward to this. I've highlighted it in pink. The rest of them are all in orange. This one's in pink. I think it's going to be the most interesting session.
And everything these days is data, isn't it, Kevin? Because it's such an important topic, and it's so easy to get wrong and quite difficult to get right.
It is. So the next session I'm looking at is at 1 o'clock on Wednesday. Another long title, The Role of Rider-Centric Data Infrastructure in Shaping Tomorrow's Transportation Experience. So I think we've got five speakers, but what they're looking at here is looking at mass ticketing, looking at privately owned data, looking at how data is structured, how data is used, how it's not used, what's it used for, and all that kind of stuff. And looking at this, they're interesting. If you look at what they're saying, good data is as crucial to the built environment elements like buses and roads as it is to escalators and wheelchair ramps. So again, that's something that you wouldn't necessarily think about. Maybe you would if you were a disabled person. That's something you think about. But as able-bodied people, as you and I, getting less so, Paul, I think probably, but it's one of those things you just don't think about. But that's going to be fascinating. Some really interesting speakers on that one. AJ Arora, who is from Google Maps. That's going to be an interesting one. And Vincent Lau, who is advisor of traffic and city management at City of Amsterdam. He's also on the panel. So that could be an interesting one. That's I'm coming to that one with slightly open eyes and open ears, because that's a subject I've not covered hugely, but I'm going to on Wednesday.
One of the things that struck me the first time I came to InterTraffic was how important tolling technology is in the European continent, in a way that it's not really so important at home in the UK. But with all the talk about the fact that at some point we're going to have some sort of road user charging, it's getting more interesting. So I'm interested that you've actually got a session on your list on toll collection.
I have, 3:30. On Wednesday, AI at tolling as a service. I'm not sure if the at is quite right, but it's called AI at tolling as a service. And we're looking at one panellist, Stefan Sahl from T-Systems, looking at how AI can play a part in road user charging and road tolling. AI is coming into everything, as we know, and you and I have discussed that we've probably got a few years left of our lives as journalists before AI takes over, and then I think we've got two more years to write about that. So we should be okay until our retirement. But looking at it's more about data. Everything's about data. But we're looking at how AI can transform toll design, toll collection, toll management, and customer services in a way that humans can't. So I'm looking forward to that one. And of course, there's this week we've also got the launch of Spruce, the experts group from RUC. So that's I think two of them are going to be there for that as well. It's a strategic partnership for road user charging experts, featuring 13 people that are very well known to all of us. So that's going to be interesting. So tolling is making a real impact this week.
And that's Kevin Boris rounding off day two's Highways Voices from InterTraffic 2024. We've got more tomorrow, so join me for that. Thanks to our sponsors, Swarco and AGD Systems.
Highways Voices from InterTraffic Amsterdam is brought to you thanks to Swarco and AGD Systems. Join us tomorrow for more from the event.